Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we continue our series on census results now. As every Thursday this month, we've been looking at different ways the numbers reflect how our communities have changed. If last year was the year of taking the census, this is the year we receive and analyze its findings, from the shifting demographic landscape of New Jersey, as we discussed last week, to the expanding Hispanic population, which we did in this series, from the shrinking cities like Detroit, oh my God, losing 25% of its population, to the growing suburbs. Our political process hangs in the balance as the reapportionment hinges on the census results. But the census is about more than where we live. Our very way of life can be reflected in census data. And joining me now to talk about the poverty rates and how the last few years of economic turmoil show up in census results is Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent for the New York Times and veteran census watcher who's joining us every Thursday this month. Hi, Sam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. And before we talk about poverty, if we could, I'd like to first of all suggest Alan Garfield should play Howard Wolfson. And secondly, I do have some news about the 2010 census that will be coming out later today, if you'd like to discuss that first.
Go ahead. Give us the scoop.
Well, I think what we're going to find is that the city has hit another record in population. It hit just over 8 million in 2000. It will be higher this time. But what I'm getting from people up in Albany who have just received the census results that will be released later today officially is that the total number for New York City is disappointingly low, according to city officials, lower than the 8.4 million they were expecting. And the chances are they're going to challenge that count as being way too low, particularly in areas of outside of Manhattan, outside of the Bronx even, where they think they undercounted people like immigrants. They did not take into account new housing and things like that, that the count should be tens of thousands of people higher.
How would they prove that the count was low? Do they have to look at the methodology? We talked so much about that last year, how the census was trying every which way to get everybody counted this time. How would they try to prove that there's an undercount?
Well, the census agreed that there had been an undercount in 1990 after the city challenged it. The city concurred pretty much with the figures in the year 2000. What they have to do is show that there were places that simply were missed. And one of the things they will look at, as we've discussed before, is new housing that's gone up, housing permits, building permits. If the population in a particular area barely increased, yet we know there are thousands more apartments there than there were a decade ago, presumably people are living in them. Another thing they'll look at is vacancy rates. There are places in the city that, according to the census, have disproportionately high vacancy rates. The chances of those apartments being vacant these days are pretty slim. What is more likely is they simply couldn't find people there, in some cases immigrants, legal and otherwise, who perhaps didn't want to be found. And the city will very vigorously, as it has before, make that case.
If there were 8.4 million people counted in New York City in this census, how many were they expecting?
Well, they were expecting 8.4. I think it will come in probably somewhat below that, maybe 8.1 or at most 8.2. I haven't seen the total yet. I expect to see it almost any minute, but it will be considerably below the 8.4 they were hoping for, and the 8.4, frankly, that the Census Bureau itself had estimated in last year's American Community Survey.
Huh. What was the population in 2000?
In 2000, it was 8,008,278, according to the census.
You know, with the poverty statistics, and by the way, folks, there you heard it here first, the New York census figures coming out today, and Sam Roberts has some word there early in the day, and you heard it here first about New York census numbers and a likely challenge coming from the city. There's also been anecdotal evidence that many families coped with the recession by doubling up, and by many households becoming multifamily households in the last 2 years. Could that contribute to an undercount?
I think it absolutely does, particularly in public housing where people don't want to admit that they are sharing an apartment with other tenants. One of the things that came out in the past week, and the mayor has really done a terrific job on this, is his Commission on Economic Opportunity. Mark Levitan, the research director for poverty of that commission, came out with new statistics that show the poverty rate in New York City, according to his count, is actually much higher than the federal official count. His count takes into has the purview of looking at a couple of things like benefits that are not counted in the official rate, and also some expenses like medical care, daycare, transportation that are not deducted from the official poverty threshold. And he found that, in fact, 19.9% of the people in the city are living in poverty, whereas the official count was 17.3%.
A few months ago, a census report showed that the number of Americans living below the poverty line had reached a 15-year high, 44 million people. I think the 2010 census doesn't tell us explicitly about income, but what else might it show about those in poverty or that the poverty rate is reflecting?
Well, as you say, the census doesn't show that much detail anymore. The 10-year census, most of that reflected in the American Community Survey. But you're right, the 2009 nationwide poverty rate was 14.3%, up from 13.2%. And that was the second statistically significant annual increase since 2004. And just as you say, there were 44 million people in poverty. One of the interesting things about the rate in New York City is that, according to Dr. Levitan, if it had not been for food stamps, probably about another 250,000 New Yorkers would have been officially in poverty in 2009.
And 44 million people, that's about one in every seven Americans, since there are about 300 million Americans.
That is a lot of people. And remember, that, of course, is the official standard of poverty. There are plenty of people living above that threshold who are, by any normal measure, poor.
Right. And I am, I believe the official definition of poverty by the federal government is an income of $10,800 or less for a single adult in pre-tax income, or $22,000 for a family of four.
That's about right. And what's interesting, too, is that the New York City threshold, the threshold for two adults, two children, is about $21,000. Under Dr. Levitan's estimate for the mayor, that threshold is $29,000. Yet even with that higher threshold, according to his estimates, there were a higher proportion of people living in poverty in New York City.
Your report this week was fascinating about the city's high poverty rate mitigated by the safety net, with food stamps and other programs helping to keep it from getting higher than 17.3%. Are they doing a lot of outreach with respect to food stamps?
That is absolutely one of the reasons they increased. The number of people receiving food stamps between 2008 and 2009 surged nearly 40%, and a startling increase, more than 100,000 new cases. What that reflects is aggressive outreach by the city. Of course, this is a federally funded program, so why not get more federal money to prevent people going on the welfare rolls as well? And much more aggressive outreach to people who would not normally get food stamps, like two-parent families and families that aren't necessarily on welfare.
I know somebody who does some of that outreach work and says you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, at the number of people who are resistant, who would apparently qualify for food stamps, but are too shamed or whatever to actually fill out an application.
Well, I think there is some stigma attached to it, which there shouldn't be. I think it's one of the things, part of the safety net that government offers, and people should take advantage of it if they have to. The problem even then is with food stamps, the proportion of people who are described as near poor, living just above the poverty line, has gone up as well.
Hispanics in the city living in poverty had the highest rate, 28%. of Hispanics. We know there's a big increase in the number of Latinos in the city, which we discussed last week. What does that mean about the success of Latinos in New York City? And we have 30 seconds left.
Well, I think it means that they are not successful as they'd like to be. There are disproportionately high poverty figures among blacks and Hispanic people, and that has remained stubbornly resistant to all sorts of efforts to improve it.
What are the implications of these lower than expected census results for the total population of New York City? Take 15 seconds for this answer.
Well, the two effects. One, we will get less federal aid, and two, we will get somewhat less political representation when the legislature and Congress are reapportioned.
Sam Roberts, urban affairs correspondent and census watcher for the New York Times, coming on with us every Thursday this month as the census figures roll out. And next Thursday, last appearance, Sam, last day of the month, and we'll take one real deep dive on these New York numbers.
Terrific. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you so much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.